My sermon is titled After the Mountaintop. So many of you know that I am from Colorado and I'm the daughter of a geologist. My childhood was spent scrambling up mountains across Colorado with my family. I'm not a rock climber, but I love to be in the mountains and to climb on them. When I was young, making to the top of the trail, some of these people have actually been there, to Lake Agnes seemed like a huge endeavor. When you get older, you realize it wasn't that long of a hike, but when you're young, it's epic. Is it huge?
We just had a screaming child.
Okay, perfect. Then it's extra huge. So that was an epic adventure. My mom would pack lunch to eat at the top, and we would climb what seemed like an eternity. Until around the final switchback, we would see the glacier lake below us, and our family would head for a spot somewhere in the sun to eat lunch and to throw stones into the icy water. I invite you to remember a mountain climb experience you've had in the past. What challenges faced you on that trail? What did you want to do when you reached the summit? Have you ever longed to stay? To linger at the top for a really long time. In today's lectionary reading from the Gospel according to Matthew, we have skipped forward a few chapters from last week's lesson, and Jesus is once again climbing a mountain with his disciples. When I read these gospel stories, I often try to picture myself as one of the characters in the narrative. What would I have done if I was there? Do you ever picture yourself inside the story? In today's gospel lesson, picture the three disciples, James, John, and Peter, scrambling up Mount Tabor with Jesus. It is hot. They are out of breath as they climb and climb, heading for the summit. Each man has his own expectations on how the day will play out. But did any of the disciples understand what would happen at the summit? Most of us aren't ready to see the holy radiating out in brilliant white. When something completely extraordinary happens, oftentimes we want to hold on to it, to make it ours forever. Peter, I just love him. He has this tendency. He wants to put God in a box. As he sees Jesus flanked by two white lights, remembered as Moses and Elijah, he longs to put up three boxes, memorials of sorts, just to keep them safe in. I really don't know what to make of the story where Moses and Elijah join Jesus at the top of the mountain. But Peter struggles to hold on to this moment, trying to build boxes, sanctuaries to hold these men into. And then the moment disappears. And there is only a dazzling white cloud, and Jesus is alone. God speaks. God has a way of showing up on the mountaintop. Here, he tells the three disciples, "This is my son, marked by love, focus of my delight. Listen to him." God's voice echoes through the words God spoke at Jesus' baptism, where God said, "This is my son, chosen and marked by my love, delight of my life." Back there in Matthew 3, chapter 7, verse 17. That's the thing about God. God loves Jesus so much. God calls him his beloved child, and God shares that love with each of us. Those three disciples, Peter, James, and John, were freaked out to hear God's voice, to see Jesus shining bright, and they wanted to stop and just stay up there on the mountain. This was holy time on holy ground. This is our last week in Epiphany, a season of light, and it ends in a blaze of glorious white light. Theologian Matthew Myers Bolton suggests we consider this passage a high mountain in the midst of Matthew's gospel. On one side, we climb up through the stories of Jesus' healing, liberating ministry, and on the other side, we'll descend down into Jerusalem. Today, we arrive at the clearing on the mountaintop. And from here, we can survey how far we've come and the Lenten journey ahead. Epiphany concludes today. Jesus has shown forth to be a healer and a liberator, a teacher and a shining prophet. Peter has just called him the Messiah. But most fundamentally and decisively, he is God's beloved child. His path of love will lead down into the valley, through the dry cinders of Ash Wednesday and the tears of the Via Dolorosa, the way of sorrow. But this week, from here we stand on the mountaintop. We can survey the 40 days ahead, take a deep breath, and remember that the journey through ashes and sorrow is never for its own sake. It's for the sake of what comes next. In a word, it's for the sake of transfiguration, a radiant new life, and a dazzling new world. As we stand on the mountaintop, we are reminded that none of us gets to remain here. Inevitably, we must all travel down the dusty path home. For those of us who read The Chronicles of Narnia by C.S. Lewis, anybody read those books as a child? Aslan, the majestic lion figure, represents God, also speaks about the mountaintop and what remains afterwards. In The Silver Chair, C.S. Lewis writes, using the voice of Aslan, who says, "Here on the mountain, I have spoken to you clearly. I will not often do so down in Narnia. Here on the mountain, the air is clear and your mind is clear. As you drop down into Narnia, the air will thicken. Take great care that it does not confuse your mind. And the signs which you have learned here will not look at all as you expect them to look when you meet them there. That is why it is so important to know them by heart and pay attention to appearance. Remember the signs and believe the signs. Nothing else matters." Now Jesus spoke to the three disciples and he told them, "Do not be afraid." Jesus knew there was reason to be afraid, but he needed them to draw courage for the journey off the mountain and into the valley, leading to his death in Jerusalem. We cannot stay on the mountaintop either. I truly hate leaving moments of glory and joy. I just wish I could always stay at the high moments. The painful path downward is hard. One thing that is so important in the story is that Jesus instructs the disciples to go together. They do not have to make the difficult journey down off the mountaintop and into the unknown alone. Neither do we. We are called to accompany one another on the journey. Some of us are sitting at the bedside of a beloved parent or spouse, painfully watching that beloved as their time ends on this planet. We can best do this tender, painful letting go when we accompany one another. There is healing and release when we sit beside one another and say how much we love one another as life ends. We can accompany one another on this parenting journey. Can I get an amen? Amen. It's hard work. Even as our children grow up, we cannot protect them from all the challenges of mental and physical health. Help us to sit and listen, to love, and work together to provide a safety net of love that echoes Jesus' call to his disciples. Do not be afraid. If we are struggling with our own health journeys or suffering from loneliness, isolation, or mental health challenges, let us follow the model set by Jesus and his disciples here as they leave the mountain as well. Travel together. Reach out and ask for help. Let one another know when we need prayer, someone to sit with, eat with, cry with. We are meant to journey together. Here is what the theologian Marietta Anschluss has to say about transfiguration. The moment of the transfiguration is that point at which God says to the world and to each of us that there is nothing we can do to prepare or stand in the way of joy or sorrow. We cannot build God a monument. We cannot keep God safe. We also cannot escape the light that God will shed on our path. We cannot escape God, Emmanuel among us. God will find us in our homes and in our workplaces. God will find us when our hearts are broken and when we discover joy. God will find us when we run away from God and when we are sitting in the middle of what seems like hell. So get up and do not be afraid. Beloved friends, God loves us. God calls us the beloved. We are walking in the light of God. We do not have to be afraid because we're called to walk together. Look around this room. Find someone you can talk to. Share what's really going on with you and practice what it means to love and be not afraid. I'm here and ready and willing to walk beside each of you as you come off this mountain. The journey is long. Some of us are faster than others. They're like racers. Some of us are slow. It's all good. God needs us, each of us, whether we feel bold or afraid, to journey along the way to make the world a place where God dwells among us. You are Christ's hands, Christ's feet. Shine bright. Your light is bright. And God knows we need you, each of you, to light up the path as we walk down off the mountain together. Amen.